Beth and the team. Add my welcome to that of Michael's. It's great to be here this morning. My name's Dave, one of the pastors here. And if you are visiting with us, it's so good that you could be with us as well this morning. It's great to be able to come together as God's people and sing His praise and share together around His word. And we're going to do that now. I wonder where you turn in a crisis. Where do you go to in a crisis? I think where we turn to in a crisis, it tells us a little bit about ourselves. Actually, it tells us a lot about ourselves. You know, when the chips are down, as they say, or when our back is against the wall, when the pressure is on, where we turn to for advice, where we go to for help or for comfort, often it gives us a clear insight into the default setting of our hearts. And we're going to keep that in mind as we look at our text this morning. We're back in our 1 Samuel series, which is finding a leader to follow. If you've got your Bible, you'll need that. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 28 this morning. So get that out if you've got that with you. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are some in the little pockets behind the seats. It's good to have that there so you can follow along. In our text this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 28, we find Saul. And his back is well and truly against the wall. And he's seeking help. He's looking for some guidance on what would become the last night of his life. And sadly, what this episode shows us is the state of Saul's heart. And what we actually see this morning is just how far his heart had actually slipped away from the things of God. If you've been following along in our series, you'll remember that we were last time together in chapter 26 looking at David and the type of leader that he was becoming. We've skipped chapter 27. We haven't left it. We're going to pick that up again next week when we look at the events of chapter 29 because they kind of go together. And that'll kind of pick up David's life out of Israel there with the Philistines. But you'll have to come back for that one to catch up with that. What we're doing is putting the focus back on Saul by looking at chapter 28. And it kind of seems a little bit out of place. If you've read through 1 Samuel before, maybe you've mentioned that, noticed that. This story doesn't seem to belong where it is. Chronologically, if you were to go through the chronology of the events that take place here in 1 Samuel, this event with Saul in chapter 28 takes place somewhere between chapters 29 and 30. But the writer of this book has kind of put it up front for us, inserted it here for a reason. And I think that that becomes clear to us. Just have a look there in 1 Samuel 28. It says there in the first few verses, "In those days the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, 'You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army.' David said, 'Then you'll see for yourself what your servant can do.'" What's happening here, because we've skipped over chapter 27, we haven't kind of caught up on this, but David is no longer living in Israel. He's fled to Philistia. He's living with Israel's enemies. He's taken the prophet Gad with him. He's got some priests with him. He's got his army. And he's there with the king of the Philistines, Achish, who has welcomed him. He's given him some real estate, some land to in Philistia there. He's given a place to live with the Philistines. And we're left with this kind of big question at the end of chapter 2 of verse 2 of 1 Samuel 28. Is David going to fight with these Philistines against Israel? It kind of seems to be what it's working up to. We're not going to answer that question this morning. We're not even going to look at David anymore. You have to come back next week for that. But it kind of leaves us this serious question. David's been shaping up to be a leader worth following. We've seen that. And there's this question now that the author gives us. Is he going to fight with the Philistines against his own people? It'd be kind of like the point in a movie or a TV show where you see to be continued. Like it's the big cliffhanger. You know, there's David with the Philistines. And the question that we're left with is he going to fight with this mob against his own people? That's a serious question. But I think the bigger question that our text gives us this morning, far more serious than whether you're going to fight with the world against God's people, is this whole question of your relationship with God. It's a much more serious question, one that has eternal ramifications. What is your relationship with God? Have you accepted God, or are you rejecting God? Are you listening and obeying the word of God, or are you cut off from God? It kind of boils down to the state of our heart towards God, the default position, the state of our heart towards the things of God. And that's what we'll look at this morning. Let's just pray and then we'll read the text together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these ancient words that you've given to us, your words of life and truth. And Father, we just pray that you would soften our hearts as you speak to us. Lord, help us to hear your words today. Help us to understand and respond to your word. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read from verse 3 to the end of the chapter there. Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely, as you know what Saul has done, he has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her, "By the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I'm in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me? Now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy, the Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he'd eaten nothing all that day and night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken. She said, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night they got up and left. Wow. We have this interesting text for us this morning. Saul is gripped in the midst of this crisis. The Philistine army is lined up against his. And now David, his warrior general, his guy who's had so much success in battle, rallying the troops and succeeding before, is now on the other side. He's with the enemy. Verse 5 in our text this morning, we see that Saul is afraid. He's terrified because of this. And he needs some advice. The rest of this chapter, as it unfolds, we kind of catch this glimpse into the state of heart and mind of Saul. He's slipping far from God. What we see in chapter 28 is that, in actual fact, Saul's repentance in chapter 26 is a bit of a sham. If you were with us when we looked at that, he appeared to be repentant for disobeying God, but it's a bit of a sham. What we see here in chapter 28 is the kind of stuff that Saul is made of. His summoning of the medium here gives us a fairly clear picture of the state where he's at spiritually. What we see in Saul in this chapter is that he is far from God. He's lost all hope. It's a terrible place to be in. It's a tricky chapter for us this morning because of this whole business with the medium. It raises a whole lot of questions for us. And the writer of the text here doesn't answer any of these questions for us, doesn't attempt to answer them. We're not told in any detail of how it happened that Saul was able to speak to Samuel from beyond the grave. The writer doesn't deal with any of the theological questions that it raises about the state of those who are dead or about the reality of witchcraft. We're simply presented with this picture of what Saul did in response to his crisis. We see who and where he turned to in this difficult time. We don't get answers to some of these more tricky questions here today. And this is often the case with questions that the Bible raises. Sometimes the Bible just doesn't give us sufficient information to answer some of these tricky questions. So rather than get caught up in what the Bible doesn't say, rather than get stuck on the parts of the text that are unclear, we need to actually focus on the bits that are. Focus on what is clear in the passage. And so because Samuel doesn't tell us the answers to these other questions, we're not going to try and tackle those this morning. We'll focus instead on what the text does tell us. We know for a fact that God condemns the practice of speaking with the dead via any medium. God forbade it. He had instituted laws against it. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, he told his people that it was wrong, it was detestable to God. While the nations around them might fall into this practice of divination or sorcery or interpreting omens, witchcraft, seeking mediums or spiritists to consult with the dead, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that this was not for his people. He forbade it. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31, he says, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." It was clear. This was not for God's people. And that's been a consistent message right throughout the scriptures. We're warned against any dealings with what the Bible might consider or call the dark side. We're warned not to have any dealings with the kingdom of darkness and its prince, who is the devil. Scripture warns us against these things because they're dangerous, because they're real. We need to accept that fact. This is a real event. The devil is not some imaginary being that's been created by our forefathers to get us to be good. He's real. The Bible forbids us from contacting him, to keep us away from things that we ought not to touch. It's for our protection. What's clear to us in this chapter is not the business with the medium. That's a little bit cloudy. But rather, what is clear is the warnings that we see through the actions of Saul. What's clear is the state of Saul's heart, which shows us the very true danger of rejecting God's word. Saul's actions in this chapter are the culmination of that rejection, continuing to reject God's word and hardening his heart towards God. Saul's actions are the fruit of a steady walk down the wide road that leads away from God and to destruction. We get a number of warnings from this chapter from the life of Saul. I'm going to suggest four things that we can see. First one is, if you won't hear from God, he may stop speaking to you. If you won't hear from God, he may stop speaking to you. That's the first warning we'll see. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Second one is, if you reject God, he'll leave you captive to sin and to the evil one. Continuing to reject God leads us captive to sin and to the evil one. There's some good news in there, though, is that even when we feel like we can't reach God, he can still reach us. And we'll come back to that as well, too. And the final warning this morning is, if you reject God, ultimately, he'll reject you. So let's look at these in a little bit of detail. That first one there, if you won't hear from God, he may stop speaking to you. We're told in verse 3 that Samuel is dead. We already know that. We're told of his death in chapter 25. So why, three chapters later, are we being reminded again that Samuel is dead? We know this. Why does the writer remind us of that again? Well, I think it's because he wants us to know that the mouthpiece through which God was speaking to his people, and in particular speaking to Saul, God's mouthpiece is no longer walking around in a human body on earth. He can't be contacted. He's dead. God's spokesman, the mouthpiece for Saul and for the people, is gone. Saul has no access to the word of God, which was previously given through Samuel, because Samuel's dead. You might think, well, that's pretty tough for Saul. He's relied on this guy for so long. But I think we need to remember that the reason that he had no access to the word of God now, verse 6, we're told that there, he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. The reason that Saul has no longer got access to the word of God is because of his previous rejection of that word. If you remember, in chapter 15, Saul was told by God to be a tool of God's judgment. God was going to punish the Amalekites for their wickedness. And Saul and the army of Israel was to do that. But what Saul did in disobedience to God's clear word, he kept back some of the cattle and he spared the king, which was against the instructions of God. We're told in chapter 15 that God rejected Saul as king at that point because Saul had rejected God's word. Here we are in chapter 28. Saul is freaking out. The Philistines are preparing for battle and he wants to know what to do and he needs some guidance. So he comes to God, but he hears only static. Just silence. Because God had long ago stopped revealing his will to Saul. Why wasn't God talking to Saul? Because he'd been left to his own devices. God had handed him over to his sinful desire. Essentially, God had said to Saul, you've refused to accept my word. You refuse to accept my instruction. So I'll stop speaking to you. It's the same thing that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 1. It's a warning for all of us. If we continue to reject the word of God, if we continue to reject God, he lets us go. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Those who have chosen wickedness, God lets them have wickedness. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And that's what happened when Saul rejected God's word. He exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And so he could no longer go to God or his prophet because his whole life had become a lie. That's why he's pushed to turn to this medium here. Saul, for us, becomes a paradigm of what happens when God removes his word from you. If you reject God's word, he'll take it from you. We need to heed that warning. Because that's a scary place to be in. If we continue to reject the word of God, if we continue to disobey the voice of God, he may stop speaking to us. And we're left then without hope and fear. That's a fearful place to be in. Saul was afraid. He went to God for answers and he didn't hear anything because he'd stopped. He'd rejected the word of God. Heed the warning. It's a fearful place to be in. The second warning is there, if we reject God, if we continue in sin, we end up captive to the evil one. We saw in verse 3 there that Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. He knew that this was not what God had for his people. It was forbidden by God. But yet what we find him doing here is disobeying God's own law, disobeying his own law. He had decreed this on behalf of God. He'd expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. And here is Saul now. In order to try and find some advice, because he's rejected the word of God and God's no longer speaking, here he is trying to get some advice and he has to disobey his own law. Have you catch the irony there? But I think what it does is it shows us just how deceitful sin is. It shows us the hypocrisy that's going on here. You know, the saying of one thing and doing something else, that's Saul to a T. He bans the mediums, he expels the spiritists, because that's what God's law said. But then he turns to this medium in sheer hypocrisy. Again, it's rejecting God's word. It's seeking to do his own thing. He's willingly giving in to sin. And what we see in the scripture time and time again is if we willingly give in to sin, it's a breeding ground for more and more hypocrisy. It's so true. If we're going to have a double standard in one area of our life, if we're going to be a hypocrite in that area, if we're going to indulge in that sin, maybe in that area of our life, then there's a temptation to keep compromising. If that's okay, why not that as well? And that becomes the path of sin. It leads to hypocrisy and more hypocrisy, to compromise, and ultimately it leads us away from God. We see here a picture of Saul caught up in his own hypocrisy. And it's so bad. I mean, look at verse 10. He swears an oath to this woman that she's not going to be in any danger. And he takes the oath by the name of the Lord. That's the capitals. It's the covenant name of the Lord. He actually swears using the Lord's name that he won't do what the Lord's word commanded. That's just pure irony. It's pure hypocrisy. It's a picture of such sadness. If you think about it, this is Saul's last night. The last time he uses the Lord's name, he takes it in vain to support his own act of disobedience. This is a picture of a man who's closing the door to God. It's a picture of a man who's trapped in the grip of sin. He's held captive to the evil one. And that's what sin does. If we continue to reject God and his word, we become captive to the evil one. We become stuck in our sin. That's the second warning. We need to heed that, friends. Heed that warning. If we continue to reject God, if we continue to willingly pursue sin, like Saul, we may be left captive to the evil one. And sometimes I think we can read this passage and think, man, Saul's got it tough. Feel a bit sorry for him, but he's reaping what he's sown. This is the fruit of his walk away from God. I mentioned in the start there that there's a glimmer of hope here. There is something that shows us the amazing grace of God. And that is the fact that even if we can't reach God, if we feel like we can't reach God, if we're ever in that place, we need to know that God can still reach us. And that's so important to know. And we see that in verses 16 to 18 of this text. Saul is acting in disobedience to God when he consults this medium. And I think it's fascinating that God allows Samuel to speak. Even though Saul is in sin, willingly pursuing this sinful act, God allows Samuel to speak. It's amazing. When does Samuel speak? What does he say? He speaks the word of God. And this is the same message that Saul had heard earlier in chapter 15. He repeats it in verse 16 of chapter 28. Samuel says, "Why do you consult me? Now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy, the Lord has done what he's predicted through me. He's torn your kingdom out of your hands. He's given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today." Samuel comes and he speaks the word of God. This is amazing that God allows him to speak. Samuel says, "Saul, God has abandoned you. God has forsaken you." The reason for that is, Saul, because you've abandoned God. You've forsaken God. Now, we hear these words from Samuel, and I think for many of us, we'll hear that. That's a hard message to hear. Surely God doesn't leave us or forsake us. Why doesn't Samuel preach repentance, you know, we ask, this side of the cross? I think it's because Saul's heart is already too hard. His continual rejection of God's word has left him hard of heart. Saul is in a place where he doesn't want to repent. If you're in that place, if your heart is hard like Saul, then there'll be no room in your mind for the gospel. Like Saul, all you'll have left is fear, no hope. You'd be caught under the trap of the enemy. But it's fascinating that against the hardness of Saul's heart, we see the power of God. While Saul had cut himself off from God, he kind of put himself beyond God's reach in a way, we see that God is not bound. God can reach us even when we can't hear from him. God reaches to Saul and speaks to him through the prophet Samuel. I think that's amazing. The power of God. We might feel like we can't reach out to God, but he can reach down to us. The sad part of this story today is that even though God could still reach Saul, he was already too hard of heart to accept God. He was already too unwilling to truly repent of his sin and submit to God. And that leads us to our final warning. If we reject God, he will reject us. This is the most important aspect of this chapter, perhaps the plainest lesson for us this morning. It's the main point of the text. It's not the questions that are raised about the medium or the fact that Saul spoke to Samuel from the dead. The main point of this chapter is the desperate need that's caused when a man or woman continually rejects God. I think that's the big key for us this morning. That's the big warning to take away from this. The desperate need that is caused when a man or woman continually rejects God. Because the reality is, for those people, there's no way back. There's no escape. There's no opportunity to repent. Why is that? Well, it's because of their unbelief. It's because of unbelief. That hardening of heart. Unbelief says to God, "I have no need of you. I'll go my own way." Continued rejection of God hardens our heart, breeds that unbelief, the desire to go our own way. Remember as a boy going to what was probably one of the saddest funerals that I'd ever been to. A family friend had died. And the song that the family played at the end of the service there was that old Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way." Family had requested that to close out the service. As a Christian boy, as a young man,
with faith. I recalled two things that saddened me about that service. The first one was the distinct lack of hope. This man died in unbelief. His family friend died in hardness of heart, rejecting God. There was no joy of eternity with God at that funeral. It was only the mystery and fear of what may lay beyond his life. Just a sad memory of a man that was now gone. And the second sadness that I recall was just the irony of that final song. Sad when you think about it, the terrible irony in that death. He did it his way. He went the way of rebellion against God, the way of independence, of rejecting God. He went the way that so many people go and choose for themselves, thinking that he's wise and strong. The Bible tells us that's the way that only ends in death. If we choose to go our own way and we don't go God's way, that's all that we have left. This is what it would be for Saul. Samuel brought God's message to him in verse 19 there. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines. Samuel brings God's message. Saul, tomorrow, that's it. You and your sons will die. Israel will lose the fight, and it's over for you as king. That's all we have if we continue to reject God. Our text this morning is not about the medium in the end. The text is about Saul. More than that, it's about the conflict that's going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. We see that in the life of Saul. He's trapped in darkness. So many times in this passage, we're told that it was night. Saul went at night. Even at the end of the passage there, verse 25, she set the meal before Saul and his men. They ate it. That same night they got up and left. This all happened under cloud of darkness. Saul is trapped in the kingdom of darkness. He's blinded to the truth of the word of God. He's deaf to it. His heart is hardened to it. He's lost to it because he doesn't belong to the kingdom of God. It's sad, isn't it? Evidence of just how far he's sunk, how low he's gone, how hard his heart has become. It's not just that he can go to the medium for guidance, but it's that when he gets his answer, when he gets this message from God, and it's the terrible message of God's judgment all over again, all he does in response is not fall on his face and repent, turn back to God. All he can do is settle down for a final meal. Such a sad picture of a man that has rejected God. Ultimately has been rejected by God himself. Saul is blinded by sin, and he's on a downward spiral to judgment. We need to heed that warning this morning. If we reject God, he'll reject us. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we are never beyond God's reach. However far we are, however much we may be dabbling in sin, however far along that wide road that leads to destruction we may be on. So encouraging to hear in this passage that God still chose to speak to Saul through his sin in the midst of his darkness, because it encourages us. God may be speaking to you this morning. Maybe the default setting, the default position of your heart is leaning away from God. God brings a warning to you this morning that says, come back. Come back to me. Don't keep walking that way, because that's the way to destruction. Turn back to me. We have fabulous encouragement this morning from the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. We might put this up on the screen, Bruce. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes and says that, remember at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That explains where Saul was at. Separate from God, walking away from God. He was a man without hope and without God in the world. And time again, God reached out to him. As God has reached out to us. Verse 13 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. What a wonderful encouragement that is for us this morning. The default setting of our heart can be hope in God, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of circumstances that seem to be beyond our control. Even when we feel like God might be silent, we can know hope because we've been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. That's our hope this morning. The gospel. Jesus, our Savior, who brings us to God. A God who, even while we might feel is far off, can reach down into our situation and our circumstance and speak to us. Don't reject that God. That's the warning this morning. Because if we do, we harden our heart to the point where he rejects us. Let me pray before we sing our final song. Father God, we just want to thank you for your word to us this morning. Father, we thank you for that terrible, confronting example through the life of Saul of just how devastating it is for those who continue to reject your word, continue to walk in sin, and reject you as God. Father, we just ask and pray that you would help us to hear your warning this morning. Father, that you would again soften our hearts as you speak to us. Father, that we would be willing to respond to your grace, to not continue to walk away or turn away as Saul did, but Lord, that we would come back to you. Father, we thank you for your grace. That wonderful encouragement again this morning that you can speak even through the sinful actions of a man. Father, that you are not bound in any way. But Lord, let us as your people not continue to reject you. Reject your word. Father, let us instead respond in obedience and faith. Thank you that we have this hope in Jesus, our Savior. Thank you that we've been brought into your kingdom, part of your family. Let that be the default position of our hearts this morning. let us turn to you, our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.